Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and if you've been listening to the show, you know I've been doing an ongoing series on UFOs and the possibility of government disclosure of their knowledge. And tonight, I have two people who have really devoted a lot of time to this subject. They're really on top of the issue. They're Sean and Clay Pickering, and we're just going to get into it. Okay, guys?
Hey, Alan, this is Clay, and thank you for having us on.
Hello, Alan. Thanks. This is Sean.
Sean, Clay is the taller one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't.
He lucked out.
Otherwise, I can't tell you guys apart because you're both on top of it. But just to tell you where I just ran into Bud Hopkins the other day, and we had a little discussion. You know, he's pretty much the grandfather of the abduction, the whole, not theory, I'd say the whole investigation into ET abductions and UFOlogy. He took, you know, the next step. He said for a long time, no one expected there were even beings in these crafts, and then we find out not only are they manned, but they're taking some part of the population of the planet to do experiments on. Anyway, I think that's all, well, almost proven and given. But he also said he can't imagine the government coming forward and saying, you know what, this has been happening and we can't do a thing about it. And not only that, they have this advanced technology and we're completely at the mercy of who these beings are. And he didn't think the government would ever come out and actually say, guess what, they're here. Now where are you guys coming from? Because I know you've been connected with an informant from the government is sort of leaking stuff to you. Give me a little rundown, people listening, what's happening in the disclosure world?
Well, Clay and I had the pleasure and privilege to meet an individual who was connected to a certain branch of the armed forces. And through a program, he has had the extraordinary opportunity to interface with a particular ET race. In fact, more than one.
Back up, but just so we get it clear. Through the government, so the government themselves have been interacting with an ET race, and he's sort of an ambassador from the government to the ET race?
I should say, to introduce a concept here, when you say government, this has been a big problem in understanding the phenomenon. Clay, do you want to add you know, the difference between the government
it's like I think Ralph Shulman had a pretty good definition on it. It's the unelected, the second, third tier that revolves between multinational corporations and government.
So what happened is that you had events that had taken place in the 30s and the 40s where you had crash disks.
Right.
And you had an event in 1947 called Roswell. The crash was leaked out to the public through the 409th bomb group in New Mexico, Roswell, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And from there, a tight lid was put on it. The National Security Act was passed in September of 1947. And the net effect of that was that it basically
created
a blanket of national security on all special programs.
Well, it compartmented the intelligence community and government. So you had the National Security Council, the CIA, mm-hmm. Department of Defense, the Atomic Energy Commission, did I say the formation of the CIA and the separation from the Air Force from the Army? Now, it's critical to understand mm-hmm. is that the Air Force was in its infancy. Alan, and the issue here, and I was making this point the other day, is that when you have an upstart organization, you can control who's put in positions right from bottom up, top down, either way. Mm-hmm. So when you have Navy and Army and even the Marines, you have an entrenched bureaucracy that understands government. So you can control, and I want to be very careful to our Air Force colleagues mm-hmm. out here, but it's my interpretation that you have a better grasp of controlling a particular department if you start at its beginning and the Air Force was at its beginning. Go ahead, John.
Go ahead. No, I just want to say let's say that whatever you want to call them, Air Force or secret Air Force, is connected to this same organization you just sort of identified as the multinational arm of an organization. This secret organization, right?
Well, keep this in mind now. We have two forms of government, okay, we have a constitutional government, okay, the color of law on paper, which people believe in, abide by, or we try to abide by, okay? Then we have the corporate government, okay? We call it admiralty or maritime law, not to get too far, but within that, we have a satellite government that has gained roots in this country through the National Security Act that's completely unaccountable. So when we deal with the military, the intelligence, or the congressional, we're dealing with elements that will cross over into that satellite government.
Well, let me offer a bit of a timeline here. Okay, so we moved in from Roswell. There was a number of crashes in the early 50s, and a ad hoc group was formed dealing with the problem of UFOs. It became an institutionalized group known as MJ-12. But even beyond that, once the hardware was gained and they started to try and back engineer some of the stuff, corporations were needed, multinational corporations were needed to bring in the fold. Late 50s, everything essentially went black and became corporate, and everything was then segregated and meted out to what would be program.
I say by 57, Sean.
Yeah. Now, do we know the names of these corporations? Do they have a?
Oh, sure.
Go pick up an almanac and look at the top 100.
Those top 100 corporate multinational corporations are the ones that are connected to this.
Sure, we're talking about the Boeings, the Lockheeds, the Northrop Grumman's, the Raytheon,
DynCorp.
But it doesn't mean that the corporation itself, if you were to ask a stockholder of the corporation, do they know about a certain program? They wouldn't know, because at a certain point it becomes compartmentalized, and really only the project manager connected to the program under a specific operation would have a good idea of what's happening in that program, and that anyone connected to the understanding of the program would have a need to know.
Yeah, corporations work the same way, Alan.
So you're saying, yes, the corporations work the same way as that sort of secret arm of the government, so they parallel each other. You know,
right.
Like most of the corporation doesn't know, like most of the government doesn't know.
Correct.
Whatever.
So when you say, you know, the government comes out and says, you know, we don't know anything about UFOs, they're essentially telling you the truth.
Keep this in mind, just to use an example of constitutional government versus corporate government, okay, which is roughly defined the two, is that in 34, am I correct, Sean, the Smedley-Butler affair, when Smedley-Butler warned FDR of an impending coup by certain corporations that were against the FDR New Deal program. You're talking about the heavyweights, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And within the corporate structure. And, you know, what happened at that time was that FDR never pursued it, because how do you pursue the very money that puts you in power?
Right. Okay, I don't think, we could do a whole show on just the corporate,
absolutely.
But I think what you have to say.
The point is that the notion of corporate control, that is the overriding tentacle of control into why the government doesn't look into it.
Well, we usually call that the powers that be. At Open Minds Forum, we call it the powers that be. We're dealing with that structure.
So they don't want UFO disclosure to come out. It has nothing to do with protecting citizens or anything like that.
If you were to basically outline the characteristic of the motives of the corporate state, you're absolutely correct. If you had to make a generalization, yes, they do not want the information to come out.
But you've now met someone who is either defecting or giving the go-ahead, and you're not sure, I think, what it is. But he's saying this is time for a whole new ball game. We're ready to come forward with this information.
Alan, this is Clay, yes. Keep this in mind. What our source is divulging is not classified information. That would be a violation of the National Security Act, and he would be in deep trouble. What he has been allowed to convey to us by his superiors, specifically admirals, and probably the inter-service working group that would meet all branches.
Mm-hmm.
But keep this in mind, Navy's in charge of policy with extraterrestrial-related matters. But he has given permission to release sensitive information that would help push or crack the lid of secrecy for disclosure, and that is what we're seeing now.
Yeah, I mean,
No, I just want to know, he's been given this. Why now? I mean, who the admirals and generals have said, go ahead, and are they getting pressure, let's say, from the ET races themselves?
Well,
okay.
The question is, why are they doing it? Okay, because they're not going to release the information, and they're going to keep it. Why? Okay, very simple. According to our source, and he has never wavered on this, every time we've asked him, and when we've misspoken, when we said if it happens, he says no, when it happens, and that's contact. Contact will happen.
Now, what we said
public
contact.
I mean, it's already contact, obviously.
We mean unambiguous contact where you have ships over selected cities, I shouldn't say selected because we don't know if there's a selection process. Various cities around the world.
We don't know
how sit there for a period of time, and there'll be absolutely no doubt. You know, there'll be a litany of tests done. Is this a hologram? Is this a fake invasion? Is this a manipulation?
In other words, we've got to go through Schopenhauer's elements, or
right.
his statement of apathy. You know, surprise, apathy, anger.
Sure.
I knew I could have had a V8.
Yeah. So that's what we mean by unambiguous contact.
But are we getting years? Is he giving us a certain date?
Yes.
2017.
Okay. And I've maintained that. And believe me when I say this, Alan, and to the listeners out there, Sean and I, we despise predictions. I don't want to get into predictions because they always go south in the end. But when someone who wears a uniform, when we've had 2 years, experience and in a relationship, and I mean on many different fronts, and we've cross-referenced.
We've seen him in uniform. We've seen his
credentials. We've seen him in uniform.
He's been consistent. He's been consistent, as George Knapp would say with Lazar. He's told the same story, same time, all the time, but also has remembered details as they come up and reminded us of details when we've left him out, where we may have only made reference to it at one time, and then months later he says, hey, no, but this, and it's like, holy macro. Then we go back and find out that he was right on the detail.
So he's
incredibly consistent.
Okay, now he's coming to you because he knows that, I mean, I know you sort of met him by chance in a sense, but he's, anyway, coming to you and say, he's giving this to you because he knows you're the next tier of public disclosure. I mean, why is he coming to you with this stuff?
That's probably one of the best questions one could ask on this issue, okay? One thing has to be stated, that at this particular point in time, the apparatus dealing with this really doesn't know how to handle it.
What do you mean by the apparatus? Who's the apparatus?
Well, we're talking about the apparatus our guy's connected to.
The powers that be, along with certain elements in the military, State Department, people in government, okay, whether that's satellite or whether it's the constitutional government who've been let in to a degree about this particular program of our guy in extraterrestrial contact, okay?
So let's take it one step back, okay?
Okay.
If our guy's connected to a program, okay, our guy's connected to a program, and in that program, he's connected to a particular ET race. Okay, and this particular ET race states that they're going to make unambiguous contact in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Now, put on their platter for the first time, our guy's platter, the people he's connected to, this presents a whole host of problems. It's never been dealt with before.
Wait, back up for 1 second because, you know, it's this particular ET race, but it seems like there's a few other ET races that have been here and doing the abductions, and these are not the guys this guy's talking about, right?
Now we're talking.
VBS Radio.
Okay, excuse me, guys, but so the question I was asking is, you were saying this is apples and oranges, you're saying this ET race that your informant has been talking with is saying they're going to have disclosure in 2017, and I asked, what about all these other ET races that seem to be here, especially
well,
Gray's
doing... You said the word disclosure.
No, ET is not going to have disclosure.
The Grays will not have disclosure. Is that what you're saying?
Let's back up. Let's back up.
Okay, good.
This is very important. Disclosure is a human process, not an ET. It's up to us to say, hey, they're here, period.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Contact, on the other hand, is an ET, call it maybe an ET program.
It's an initiative.
It's initiative. Okay.
By the ET.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so the disclosure is a human process. We're disclosing something that human beings have covered up for some, at least, you know, as we know, 70 years. We're disclosing to the public the reality of the situation.
And this has to happen, according to our source, before 2017, because there's no choice. There's going to be contact.
So if you have
no choice. What do you mean by there's no choice?
No choice.
Hold on. Okay. If you have unambiguous contact.
Oh, I see what you mean.
2017.
Yeah.
And the PTBs are not given an option to deal with this.
Okay.
Then in order for commerce, when that day happens, in order for it to be a smooth transition where people don't freak out, there has to be a disclosure process that takes place now to prepare the public for this unambiguous contact event on 2017.
Okay, I get that. I was just making a little distinction between the grays who seem to be here and the race of ETs your guy is talking to. Can you kind of pull these ET races into a picture?
We can kind of define exactly what our guy has when he put his anthropology hat on, his scientific hat on, and tried to glean exactly motive and this and that when he interacted with these things. This is what he came up with. The particular ET race that he was connected to is a silicon-based life form. Mm-hmm. And there were other ET races connected to this ET race, one of which was the reptilians and tall whites. Tall whites are kind of these really tall...
Charles Hall talks about them in Millennium.
Yeah. Right. Okay,
right,
now,
right.
He observed that these particular ET races deferred to the silicon-based life forms. Now, the silicon-based life forms we refer to as conformers. The reason we call them conformers is that if you were to actually hear one of these things,
talk,
you couldn't understand it. A human palate could not produce the sound. Okay, So
nor do we understand it.
Right. Well, so the reason they call them conformers is these things are able to change size and shape, still maintain their central characteristics, what they're made of, but they can be taller, shorter. They can create appendages out of aspects of their body and grab things, mm-hmm. so they can kind of conform to the will of what task needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So this is why we kind of use the word conformer, and it's a poor choice. But it's the best we've
but
got.
But also, it's important to just to clarify something, is that also conform, it's a double meaning that the other races tend to defer, for lack of better words, to this particular race. At
right.
some level, we don't know.
Mm. Now, aren't they all telepathic, though? I mean, besides, they don't really
don't
talk,
that.
These.
We don't know
that.
There is a degree of telepathy involved in the conformers.
The reptilians, according to our guy, said that. Mm-hmm. There was no telepathy between this particular species of reptilian and our guy.
Well, you don't believe any of the other things that are coming out from Area 51, Dan Barish's, I think that's his name. Dan Barish. Did you believe that guy who says he had this telepathic sort of relationship with this ET? What do you think about that?
Well, you're talking about what he deemed as a J-Rod.
Yeah, the J-Rod.
Which is
that's
a
right.
form of gray.
It's a gray.
First of all, through our guy's interaction with various ET races, the tall whites tend to be the telepathic.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
The reptilians, no.
Nope, just this species of reptilian. This is what we have to
I'm
drop
I'm talking
home.
About the ones he interfaced.
No, but I want to clarify, because what happens is, and this is through my dealings at Open Minds Forum, is that we get all these accounts of all these species of reptilians being able to shapeshift, being able to induce telepathy. I don't know. I can only speak, so let's break it down. We can only speak about this one particular species. And according to our guy, the telepathy is not in place, at least with this one species. So, go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
Seem that it would be if they were the superior race. That's the only thing that doesn't.
No, well,
you can't say that these other beings defer to these guys of surety.
Yeah.
Just because something is more advanced doesn't mean that they possess the same capabilities that other ET races possess.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, we maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe our guy didn't get enough information at the time. We don't know.
Okay.
But he only had a period of time from which to glean exactly what these things are and what the relationships are and, you know, that kind of thing. Now, whether or not he read briefing papers ahead of time, we don't know. That was never revealed to us.
Okay, so let's get back to your initial point, which is the process of disclosure, because you're saying this race has given them an ultimatum by 2017, ready or not, here they come, right?
I would be careful about the word ultimatum. We're going to do this or else. That's another trigger word we have to be careful of. Now, I don't want to get caught in semantics, Ellen, but it's this is what we are going to do. This is going to happen on 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
Can we call that an ultimatum? Yes. Is it an ultimatum? Maybe not. Okay.
No, I know what you're saying. It's up to our free will. You know, they have their agenda. Obviously, we have to sort of, as a planet, understand what's happening. You know, it's like the season. The seasons are changing,
right.
And this is a season. Yeah.
Right, and, you know, by showing up unambiguously over certain cities on 2017, what is the net effect? They're telling us, they're showing us that we're not alone.
Okay.
And they're hoping what our guy gleans from this, what we glean from it, is the hope is that humanity will start realizing that, A,
we're not alone.
We're not alone, that we're a planet on we're a species on a planet, and there are other species on other planets.
Right.
So it's a way of defining identity,
or breaking the provincial attitude that we have.
So you're saying it's up to us in the next 8 years as a planetary people to come. For the governments to come forward, there seems to be now a process in place that will prepare the planet. Is this what your guys
What we're getting from our source is that, okay, let's look at a pyramid. Okay,
yep.
About three-quarters of the way up the pyramid, there is a high middle-level bureaucratic level. It's not right in the middle, but it's high middle. It's a bureaucratic level. It deals with the individuals that get things done. Okay, so they're having meetings as we speak around the globe. These people are meeting.
Let me interject on that. I don't want to break your stream of consciousness. Is that Sean is absolutely right, because we spoke to our source yesterday, and he said, yes, they're continuing. Even though he may not be privy to the information, the pattern is the same. The idea of the information and the movement towards disclosure would continue without our source at least being part of the UN initiative. It's continuing.
So wait, there's meetings at the UN now. Who's meeting?
No. Well, when we mean UN, it doesn't physically have to take place. Have to physically take place now at the UN. In other words, I'll just be a little vague about it. It could be on the initiative that these are UN representatives, and then they go somewhere else to talk about it, okay?
So anyway, there's a bunch of countries meeting about this, as you're saying.
There was an original February 12, 2008 meeting where a group of people got together. They introduced the idea of hammering out what needs to be done prior to the 2017 date, okay?
Okay.
Now, those meetings quickly went elsewhere, and then quickly went elsewhere, okay?
Right.
Personnel
right.
changed, okay? Our guy got reassigned. He was no longer involved with that. I'd say around April-ish of 2008. He moved on to a different assignment, and he had another person, counterpart, comes in, and he does it. Okay? So we now have a process in place where these high-level, middle bureaucratic people that get things done are hammering out the details. Once they do that, then they're going to present a menu of choices to the diplomatic corps.
Our source does not know the counterpart, his successor. He does not know, nor is he privy to that information. This is how compartmented information works.
Right, but what's interesting is, what are the details this organization's hammering out that will be in place over the next 8 years?
Alan, use your imagination. What are all the problems that you can this world will face when when a particular ET race pops over cities.
Well, one of these problems, I think there'll be gifts. I mean, they might give us this free energy technology that everyone's
waiting for. No, that's another issue. We'll get into that a little bit later.
We're talking about
the immediate response.
Yeah,
the immediate problems
is
hysteria, you mean, group mass hysteria.
Right. Exactly. We're also talking about, you know, will our money markets be stable? Will people not go to work?
Stable now. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying...
Yeah.
We're saying that, you know, a huge draw on money, something
yeah.
that creates such dislocation that the whole commerce process will seize up.
Okay.
These are some of the problems that they would face that day in 2017. Another problem is that people have to continue going to work.
Yeah, would people go to work or would they sit around the TV sets for 3 days going,
I would sit around the TV. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's the problem. Here's the issue, and I won't couch it this time. I've done it. Is that maybe it come down to this martial law and they force people at gunpoint to go to work.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, we could completely collapse.
7 days, the canned goods and the foodstuffs in our grocery marts will be gone.
So what
who's
kind of things are these
power companies? What about the nuclear
power? What are they hammering out that's going to get, I mean, if they've already decided martial law, I mean, what? There must be some kind of preparatory work. Or even propaganda that might be in place to prepare people for such an event, right?
Well, what they've got to hammer out is...
That's disclosure.
The process, the disclosure process, they hammer out the problems. One problem is immunity. Understand this. This has been covered up for some 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
Laws have been broken. Okay? So there's got to be an immunity process put in place whereby they can release... The disclosure information, people go say, well, you knew about this, and so-and-so was lost his job, and so-and-so disappeared, and so-and-so. The immunity process has to be put in place. And then from there, you know, when the diplomatic corps gets it, then they're going to introduce the ideas to certain select members of nation states, and from there, there's going to be an agreement, and then they'll start releasing the idea that extraterrestrials have been visiting our planet.
We got to get past the idea. We need the Roman Catholic Church to quit saying, yeah, the probability that there's other intelligent sentient life. Listen, guys, I don't want to hear anything more about probabilities or possibilities. The hymen needs to be broken here, okay? This is the point. They're here.
Right.
And we need the power structure to say, guys, forget about possibility and probability about intelligent life being out there. They've been here, and they've been here for a very long time. We kept it quiet because we didn't know what the hell we're doing. We didn't know what we're dealing with. That's it, period.
Okay,
that's what's
so
got to happen.
So on the practice...
But here's the key. But here's the key, Ellen, is that, and this is important, is that disclosure. They've got to prepare the public from this point, from the February 12th meeting to 2017, and say... Give people time to chew on it, digest it, and say, "Yeah, wow, they exist," and this and that. They've got to do that because when contact happens, we got to get people not to freeze. Okay, now I don't worry about the everyday Joe, you know, Joe Sixpack and the mothers out there, for lack of better words, because most people live paycheck to paycheck or even day to day now. So they have to feed their kids. They have to clothe their kids. They understand that there's a necessity that has to be paid attention to regardless of anything fantastic. Okay? So I'm not too worried about John Q. Public. I really am not. The only concern about John Q. Public is that we gawk it for 3 days and we hover at the television instead of going to work. Okay? Because we need to survive, all of us. That's an issue. Now, the other issue... Our sources mentioned is that the elite may run on the banks. Well, it's interesting.
Right.
We don't have any banks now. maybe the run on already happened. I'm just speculating here. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering. I mean, I understand all that and the mass hysteria, so it's another. But I'm just curious, backing up to the John Podesta situation, who obviously knows about ETs because of his connection to someone. He was part of that press club thing.
Yeah, Podesta, John Podesta.
And his connection to Obama. Now, is that part of the initial disclosure, his placement within the Obama administration?
There are select people that are connected to a bloc that wants disclosure to happen. They're being put into place, and not all the pieces have been put into place yet. Clay and I cannot get too specific on this because there is a player or two that have not been put into place, and we don't want to muddle that process up in any way, shape, or form. But
so
the net effect, Will, is once they get all the correct players in place, then when briefings happen, you've got someone to brief.
Right. So what is your guy saying... Now, I get that, but what is your guy saying now about this disclosure process? Is he laying out a step-by-step process?
He only in the most general terms, because he's no longer part of that process that he was, say, early in 2008.
Oh, I guess.
However, he is still part of the other program. He will always be a part of that other program from what we gather in terms of contact. In other words, he is an envoy. So
what's the other program? An envoy to the
ET? Other program is contact. He is a human, element, for contact with extraterrestrial. He's part of envoys for lack of a better word, or liaisons. Mm-hmm. So that will continue. But we are not privy to that information, nor do we know when that will happen next.
Right.
But it will continue to happen.
I just want to back up.
There's still going to be a dialogue in place between the human element and the conformers about disclosure. Where are you guys at with disclosure? In so many words, that's part of it.
I want to go back a little bit for the listeners' sake, is that there was a process that took place before he was in the position to meet this particular ET race. And it was, we'll say, a couple hundred people, and it was honed down to a very small number of people. But there was a very, very, thorough process of reducing this large pool down to a small pool. And part of it was the ability to interface with something that exotic, and two, to do so and be objective. Not, you have to put an objective hat on, because the group that he's connected to, they want to get as much information as possible, and they don't want his interpretation colored by his biases.
They don't want presuppositions or suppositions or assumptions or any inferences other than what he sees, smells, hears, relative to the present time with that information. So get the information straight and don't put your baggage on it or your bias in any way. That's difficult to explain.
Now,
I get it. No projection.
The notion
of what is
above, so below, you know, he would be an individual instance of the below. The greater instance of the above would be the UFO community. The UFO community has not done a very good job in withholding their biases when they interpret certain events.
By the UFO community?
People that are involved in UFO research that have interacted with whistleblowers, and they present the story in such a way that they color their interpretation with their own biases, their own human biases. This has been part of the problem, not the whole problem, but part of the problem.
I'll give you an example. Clifford Stone, and I think the world is of his information. Clifford Stone was in the Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project. He talked about extraterrestrial crashes or the extraterrestrials themselves, specifically, I believe, the Greys. And he made a comment, you know, they have their likes, they have their dislikes, they have their loves, they have their whatnot, okay? But I'm not going to disagree with Clifford with the particular extraterrestrial race he's dealing with. He may know something about that race, but that doesn't mean all races. But even then, we don't know. He may be presupposing or manifesting his own ideas of what loves or likes or dislikes with extraterrestrial. May be absolutely wrong.
Okay, so I get that.
Okay.
So let's go forward now and see what the process actually is. I mean, your guy's sort of taken out of the program, you're saying, but he's still an envoy to the informer?
There's two programs, okay? The initial program was the UN program, okay? He is not a part of that now. He's done his job. He's moved on to another program.
At least that we know of.
At least that we know of. Okay, yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
There's always a possibility he's withholding their information.
But he is. What we do know is he is in a liaison program with this particular extraterrestrial race, at least two others.
I'm just curious. Where does he meet these guys? These extraterrestrials. I mean, where do they show up, and how does he interact with them?
I can answer that.
Hey, Alan, Clay's gonna answer it.
No comment.
Okay, go ahead. I cannot get in that.
We can't. We can say one point that he interfaced with some of these at a temporary base someplace.
Okay, so it's some place that obviously other people are aware of. He's not like summoned to the middle of a field somewhere, and it's all arranged somehow.
Not a bad guess, Alan. Not a bad guess.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm being facetious, but not a bad guess. I mean that.
Do these ET races send a signal to a military base, a certain code, and saying, get your guys...
Okay, now that's an excellent question, Alan. Okay.
Good.
Now this demands definition, okay? We're gonna define to you how it's split up among various branches, okay? The Army handles what, Clay?
Army is the Department of Homeland Security, that's DHS, Department of Energy, DOE, and the Army handle security and bases. The Air Force handles technology and contact, and the Navy handles policy regarding extraterrestrial affairs.
This has all been mapped out then by some branch of the
government. Department. Navy and State Department. You notice I'm driving this home, guys. Navy and State Department are in charge of policy.
So if the Navy interact with an ET race, it's going to be handed off from elements of the Air Force.
Uh-huh.
You see how it's split up?
Well, someone
must
have mapped this out.
The technology, you'd have Air Force people involved in that.
I see, but isn't that strange that actually the legitimate government or the main or the government definitely has sort of strategized this? Or is this the part of the top secret?
No, this is not the legitimate government that's not involved. Now, there are elements, what Locke Johnson calls the Gang of Eight. That's your House and your Senate intelligence and armed services personnel. There's eight of them who are aware of this. Or to some degree, they are aware of some of the program, but not the totality of the program.
You know, Clay and I are in contact with a particular individual who's connected to a particular intelligence agency. And he stated that he tried to contact various people in the constitutional government about the ET phenomenon. And at every twist and turn, the people he talked to, we're talking people extremely high up. They did not know. They didn't have the need to know. They didn't have the information.
So he did talk to them, though.
Yes, he did.
And
This particular person that Clay and I have talked to, we haven't physically met, but we've talked to him. You know, he's tried through the overt political channels to find out about this, and these people don't know.
It's amazing.
We're talking very high up in our constitution.
Well, they don't know. You said this guy, your informant, just talked to them, so they must know now.
No, I'm talking about another individual.
Okay, they just didn't know, but someone's going to be talking to them to let them know, or were they just not believing them, or?
No, in fact, the particular people that this particular person in the intelligence community talked to, they were believers, but they didn't know anything about ETs.
Okay.
Because it's compartmentalized, it's a need to know.
Right. Right.
Now, we're not talking about our source. We're talking about another individual.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm going to be very careful. This is somebody who's been privy to some of this information or has sought it out and has got a confirmation about what our guy's been through.
Okay.
He's briefed officials at the highest levels of our government.
Mm-hmm.
Not about this, but about other things.
Okay, so where are we now in the process, and what's the sort of latest news your informant has been telling you? Can you just outline that?
Hold on one second, Alan.
Sure. Do you get that question, Sean and Clay? I've been talking to
Sean. Here's one for you.
Yeah.
That's been going around, is that, and this is no slight to our colleagues, because it's difficult. This is difficult, because we're getting real-time tactical information or trying to find it. President Obama, has he been briefed on the UFO question? And
yeah.
There's some people who think that he has. Well, according to our guy, he has not been briefed yet. And part of the problem is that they got to get certain people in place so they can get to the president and be able to tell him exactly what's going on. Remember, the president is very much insulated.
Well, that was the John Podesta thing. Isn't John Podesta part of the... he was part of the transition team and also part of the exopolitics.
According to our guy, Obama has not been briefed. I don't know to what degree or who. But I asked him, and I'm just going to run through the litany very quickly about presidents who've been briefed. Roosevelt, we believe, to some degree, probably was briefed, okay? Was in its nascent stages in terms of the modern era of the phenomena. Truman, no doubt, was briefed. He was privy to the early beginnings, Roswell, and on. Eisenhower, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Kennedy, we feel, was briefed to a fairly large degree. Johnson, we don't feel, was briefed. Nixon was briefed only because he was VP to Eisenhower, and he would have been in the position to be privy to that information.
That's right. And there's that whole Jackie Gleason story.
Now, when we get into Ford, no. We get into Carter, one of the most well-briefed presidents.
Well-briefed Carter?
Reagan, no.
Wait, back up. You're saying Carter was briefed?
Well, let me go through the litany.
Yes,
Carter was briefed.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Carter was briefed. Reagan, no, which is surprising. Or if he was, it was very little. I don't know. But no, according to our guy. Bush Sr., I mean, one of the most knowledgeable people, but kind of muffed it up from what we're trying to
get in specifics why he muffed it up, but he muffed it up.
Yeah, he was going in and out of the information. It wasn't conveying it properly or didn't convey it properly.
Uh-huh.
Clinton, no. Bush Jr., hell no.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama, not yet.
Now, why would they brief Carter? Because he had his own UFO experience? Because
he's Navy. Remember, this guy was a physicist in the Navy.
Oh, Navy.
Interesting now, huh?
I get it. So what is your guy
also
telling
you? Also, Bobby Ray
now?
Inman. Bobby Ray Who? Inman at the time, if I remember correctly, Sean, was director of the National Security Agency in around that time and was also deputy director of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was.
So anyway, but let's get back to this process of disclosure and what your guy's position is now and what these conformers are telling him on a sort of a regular basis, would you say, he's meeting with these beings?
No.
Once a year?
Not on a regular basis. From what I understand, he's met the conformers on two occasions. He met them roughly two weeks before the release of the February 12th UN meeting. And then he met the conformers again, when, Sean? What would you say before? We call it the TDY.
It would be the time period of late May to early June.
Okay.
Late June.
This is important now. Let me get this point across to our military brethren who might be listening. Because notice that our guy is Navy, and I said TDY, which is an Air Force term, okay? Temporary duty. The Navy's TDA, and please don't ask me to tell you, it's basically the same thing as TDY. Now, Sean and I have gotten a lot of criticism because they said, TDY, oh, this is disinformation because that's an Air Force term, and your guy's Navy, and you guys are bullshit. No, that's not how it works. This is an Air Force program. Remember, Air Force is in charge of technology and contact. This particular program was handed off to the Navy. That means the Air Force is paying for it.
Hmm.
Got it?
Okay.
Though the team leader of this particular program, now when I mean program, I mean the contact, I mean the extraterrestrial contact that our source and the inter-service team have been a part of. That means the Air Force is paying for it, but the Navy's in charge of this program, or the team leader is Navy. Okay?
Just to give you just an update, because this is, I think, what you're searching
that,
for.
That
now.
Stuff, I mean, it's interesting, sort of, but I'm not so interested in because, you know, I'm not so familiar with the military. I want to know more
okay.
the steps that are being laid out to for the disclosure.
Okay. So our guy gets reassigned, okay? Mm-hmm. And now he's in kind of a weird safe status, and, you know, he's doing his thing. Because he'll be reactivated, brought back into the program maybe at some other time. I don't know. But what we can say is that as we speak, these mid-level bureaucrats are hammering out the issues, okay? As they're doing it, there are plans to bring in certain people in the current administration, okay? When that happens, okay, you'll see things heat up a little bit.
Okay.
Now, is it a done deal? Can't say. There's hopes there that the right
people
are going to be
brought in. Let me just back up for 1 minute. It's just, okay, we're working it out, but meanwhile, we are getting lots of sightings in the last few years.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, and is that part of this coordinated activity between what those guys are doing?
First of all, we don't know. We don't know if there's a coordination. We suspect so. Okay, that's one. Mm-hmm. Let's keep that in mind. Two. If contact, when contact happens in 2017, we do know, at least through our source, that it's going to be one particular race who appears to be in charge. This is a conformist, okay? Just a name, okay? Also, now, keep this in mind. If you can have one extraterrestrial race, then why not 100? Okay, that means there may be competing agendas with other extraterrestrials that we're not aware of, that maybe even the conformers are not aware of. Doubtful. I believe the conformers are very much aware of it. But there are other extraterrestrial species that we gather. So maybe there's they have their own agendas up until that time that that contact occurs. I don't know. Maybe you want to add to that.
But there'll be nods to certain governments. They'll start releasing UFO files as they're doing. The Catholic Church last year came out and said that the idea of extraterrestrial life is not incongruent with God's design. That's a huge step on the part of the Catholic Church. Records have been released, albeit records that are not mind-blowing.
Are redacted.
And redacted.
But they've been re-released or a little bit more information's been given out.
So what you're doing is you're seeing a warming, a détente, as they say, in the disclosure area. Now, when you see it really pick up and you see, really reputable people come out and start acknowledging this, then you're going to see how the influence of these mid-level bureaucratic people are doing in terms of bringing disclosure out. So it'll be a step-by-step process. They won't come out one day and say, per se, they will say, ET's real. It'll be a step-by-step process.
Let me give you
an analogy. Culminate maybe in
Let me give you an analogy. 1995, Bill Clinton, and please forgive me, the name of the rock, the Martian rock that they found in Antarctica.
Oh, right, that rock.
That
bounced off Mars.
That possibly showed a particular type of cellular structure or a parasite of some form that was extraterrestrial. Now, that may have been... That may have been a program to feel out the public to see how receptive they were.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
I think it's being leaked through science as well. I mean, they're going through the scientific channels. They're preparing us on all fronts. I mean, maybe they'll say, life exists on Mars, right? Before, that's sort of like they've been hedging that bet, it seems, for a long time.
But here's the problem, and this is the problem with the desensitizing of the public and academia, is that no one wants to come forward and say, well, yeah, sure, we believe there's other sentient life out there. Drake's equation, Amir Axel's probability one, the Catholic Church, no crap, guys, okay? But someone's going to come forward and says, you guys, they're here. They've been here. No one wants to say that.
But someone's going to have to say that.
But that's the big enchilada. Now, that someone has to be someone that the major media is going to pump. In other words, if it's President Obama, okay, or it's one of the top nuclear physicists in the world, or it's someone of renown who would have inside information that that most people would agree on, that this person has a platform to say it. That's where it has to happen.
Or you'll see an instance where you'll see someone reveal something, and then your next intuitive thing to think is, oh, here they're going to start belittling this guy. They're going to call him an idiot, and that's not going to happen. And all of a sudden, he's going to sit there like a log.
Well, it's already happening on television. They're no longer, you know, the History Channel and I think ABC, NBC already did shows where they didn't just get the debunkers out and say this is, they're kind of not doing that so much, the mainstream TV.
That's correct. And it's starting to change.
Yeah.
You don't get the malicious reaction from the debunkers.
You get Larry King talking about it. You get Coast to Coast talking about it every night, practically.
I applaud Larry King. It's not complete as information, but at least that he's had several shows dealing with the subject. The problem is we got to get past the giggle factor and the ridicule factor.
Right.
We stop ridiculing people for exploring the issue, and I mean the science community and academia. We have to step up and say, okay, guys, we think that there's something there. I have done the work. I see the circumstantial evidence. I see the case histories, and there is definitely something there. They've got to come forward and say, okay, we need a proper investigation.
Can I offer an instance where the immunity instance, can I offer an example?
Do you know
how many airplane pilots have lost their jobs over the last 60 years because they insist on reporting UFOs? Now, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen if it comes out in the fact that they were actually honest.
Right.
And it was true. The immunity factor must be dealt with.
And how are they planning on dealing with that? Are they just going to say, okay, you guys are off the hook because we were protecting the public?
It'll be much like the eminent domain notion that, you know, they had to do it at the time. It was under the National Security Act. There was policies in place because they simply did not know how to handle the issue.
And so
otherwise the pilots are going to go back and sue for back pay.
Because it's not just the pilots.
I'm sure it's a lot of people that are going to be in trouble when this comes out. The whole government secrecy, like Congress calling
How about the soldiers and sailors and Marines and people in the military who've lost their jobs or been demoted because they've reported something that was real? That's another issue.
Well, just Congress calling this black project government forward and saying, how could you guys be lying for 60 years? You know, that's a big thing.
Again, you know, under the rubric of national security, they can simply say that we simply did not know how to maintain a stability of modern civilization.
Let's be a little fair, and I want to say this, and this is it'll probably rub some people wrong, but let's be a little bit fair to the Air Force. We're presupposing that these guys knew everything that was going on with the ET phenomenon.
Right.
These guys, man, I venture to say is that they're going through the same struggles that most people are going through in terms of what we've just discussed tonight, that they did not know the complete picture.
I mean, Wilbur Smith wrote significantly about the event of airplanes falling out of the sky in May-June period of 1947, it was an instance where we were running into the wake of some of these craft that create what they call areas of loose binding, and the planes would just fall out of the sky. Now, the Air Force, you know, in all fairness, didn't know what the heck they were doing.
Probably thought they were hostile for that reason.
We got to do another show because we're like, you know, we're just kind of getting into the meat of this.
Think of a question. I want you to think of a question that you yourself really would like to get into right now before the show's up.
Thank you. I just want to know if there is, and I guess this is what they're hammering out, a really concrete way that they're going to go about, let me just think, a way of presenting this to the public. I guess you've been talking about that. And what do they think after these conformers land, what's the future of the planet going to look like after 2017? I guess that's my final question tonight.
Well, we can't give you broad strokes about, very specific strokes about what they're going to do to facilitate disclosure. Because
okay,
part of the process.
Can you also tell me what's going to happen after?
Is that okay. On 2017, okay, these things just may disappear.
In other words, if we are not prepared to do certain things, and that's for another show, okay?
Yeah.
To be responsible with our plan, and like I said, Alan, for another show. But how we react to this contact will determine whether these guys are just going to say, okay, boys, have a nice day. I'll see you in 200 years. This particular race. Now, hold on. They'll still watch over. You'll still have the encouragement. You'll still have all the other stuff. But this would be the first overt contact. Unambiguous over contact by an extraterrestrial race to say, how are we going to handle it?
It's a step. It's a process.
Well, why don't we do the show next week? Why don't we just pick up this discussion and get into some of that? How are we going to clean up the planet and be prepared and all these questions that we haven't gotten to tonight? You want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
Alan, you know we don't say no to you. You know that.
No, I think the sound will be better and all that. And we'll just get into, and I'll listen to this. I'll review what we've talked about and get into all that stuff. Okay, Sean, Clay?
You got it. Yeah, fantastic.
You got it.
No, I mean, this is like a, I mean, I'm around this stuff, and it's a lot of information.
All right, listen, now, Alan, I want to do something here. Just recently, we were going back at some of these top UFO researchers, and it got pretty heated. And finally, Bob Morningstar says, let me give you a little poetry. And he proceeded to give a poem. So it still got heated, so I said, God, I got to jump in here. So I said to the guys, I said, guys, can I try my hand at poetry? Now,
go
keep
ahead.
This in mind. This is very quickly. This is very quick, okay? It's a parody on NASA, okay? During the time, NASA was talking about how to do things more inexpensive and do it quicker. So you'll see the tagline. So it goes something like this. Hi, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The cow crashed, killing the cat and the fiddle, faster, cheaper, and better. And NASA knew that, too.
Well.
Now, some of these NASA guys, I hope you guys are laughing, okay, because I made a couple of guys laughing.
Thanks, guys. This has been great. We'll pick this up, discussion up next week, okay?
You're not laughing at my poem.
No, thanks. Thanks, guys. All right. I've been talking to Sean and Clay Pickering, and they are really on top, I feel, of the disclosure process that is going to happen and is happening, and we are all part of that process. Everyone who's listening is part of the process of the revelation that UFOs are here, and they're here to stay. So thanks, guys, for tonight.
You got it. Alan, A. Day, thank you very much.
This is New Realities for and Alan Steinfeld. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and watch my and look at my website, newrealities.com. Thank you. And this is Neil Young singing.